Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
If you play a sideways ball backward pass back to your keeper or a defender, you can hear them. They're behind me. I'm like, oh, they're brutal. You know what I mean? Honestly, it's unbelievable.
And football's changed. That's that game.
I think your ambition to further your career is, to be fair, what I'm interested in. That the idea that, you know, it's not easy for a local lad to leave a club. In fact, some of the lads used to have everything on. Jackets, bobble hats,
Some people,
gloves.
In the summer...
I used to wear gloves.
Yeah, gloves. Because your hands get cold.
Yeah, I used to wear gloves.
I seen Scorsese the other day complaining about the lads at the huddle. See that?
Was the points where you think this is getting difficult?
I've got one goal and one purpose, and nothing will ever get in the way of that. My ambition is to be at the very top of football, and I couldn't do that where I was.
Is that not quite sort of like intense?
I can't sleep though. It's like I just remember all the bad things.
Which defender do you dread coming up against?
None.
None?
No. I've never said that before on like any media outlet or
what
things.
What about the meditation and the visualisation?
No one knows how sad to me. Ultimately, I'm so desperate to get to where I need to get to. My ambition takes control, and when I get opportunities like Newcastle, I was never ever going to say no.
I can't get over how tall you are, by the way.
I could have literally put a bet on that you were going to say that, I swear. Everybody says it.
Anyway, quick fire questions.
Just do it.
You were the player of the tournament in England under 21's European Championship, so here are 21 quick fire questions.
Just do it.
The best item of clothing you own?
I'm going to say this jacket at the minute because it's freezing. I love a jacket, especially with the zip. So.
Hoodie?
Yeah, hoodie. Hoodie jacket.
Right. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Do you have a lot of trainers?
Yeah, I'm a
massive
sneakerhead. And we get a lot free anyway, so they just end up piling up.
Why did I not have a better sponsor when I was playing football? I think my sponsors were Ponit and Diodora.
I don't even know who they are, Gary, honestly.
You don't know who I am, or Ponit or Diodora?
No, they've stepped up the game massively.
One thing that you can't live without?
My phone.
Are you on your phone all the time?
So much. I'm the ultimate iPad kid. That's what the name is nowadays.
Do you know what I did last night? It's unbelievable, right? So I negotiated. I've got two girls, 14 and 15 years of age. They just started to go on social media. But I actually put parental restriction.
Yeah, I've seen that.
30 minutes a day, Monday to Friday, and then unlimited at weekends. I think that
that's
could
quite
work.
Harsh.
The oldest said, no, that's not right.
Do you know my thing? I need noise. So I'll have like the overlap on all different kinds of podcasts. And I'm not actually so much listening. It's just there. The noise is just there.
Constant noise.
Yeah, constant noise.
Jeez.
It's a strange habit.
Wow. Favourite meal?
I love Japanese.
Japanese?
Yeah, like sushi or sweet and sour chicken, that type of food.
Sweet and sour chicken is Chinese.
I know, but you can get it in a Japanese.
Have you got one of those sort of like multiple sort of like you get everything in one? So where's that? Where would that be in Newcastle?
There's not many, to be honest.
No.
You could do with a few more.
Favourite book?
Winning by Tim Grover. So he's Michael Jordan's ex-trainer.
Right.
And maybe the time that I read it that it probably meant the most to me.
When did you read it?
It was the time where I was coming through at Everton.
Oh, okay.
And I just needed a bit of experience, a bit of guidance on how to perform at a high level consistently, and it just gave me the platform and the ideas to sort of deal with the tough times and how to deal with them, I think.
What in that book would you say you call upon as being sort of like things that you use now as a...
Absolutely everything. I'd love you to go and read it, but I think one thing is he talks about winning sort of like this devilish figure who's trying to take everything from you. Where you have to give everything to it,
right.
And there's no guarantee you get anything in return, if that makes sense.
Do you think a lot about this sort of? You can tell you're really into it,
aren't you? Yeah. I read a lot, and I'm into the psychology of definitely sports people, but like people in general. I love the psychology.
Do you know what I think about you? Do you know something? Obviously, there's all that sort of stuff when you left Everton. Yeah. And obviously, I can imagine it, understanding that a local player, you know, living in the city, growing up there. But you must have a single-minded, ambitious sort of, like, belief. Because I think that that takes real courage to want to sort of go for it. Because it must have been hard that at the time when you were going through that.
Yeah, it's much harder than people perceive it to be, because from the outside looking in, they just think, oh, you want to leave, that's it, it's done. No, it's of course difficult, but ultimately I'm so desperate to get to where I need to get to that my ambition takes control, and when I get opportunities like Newcastle, I was never ever going to say no.
When I looked at it at the time, and I think a few people thought this, and I say this with the greatest respect, because we can say it now with the fact that what you've done this season and the goals and the assists.
Yeah.
But there was almost like a bit of a, why did Chelsea want Gordon for this level of money? Did you feel that that was the sort of perception at the time? I've gone off quick five questions here, because to be fair, it feels like we're in that moment of discussing it, but did you get that feeling as well? You know, that people, they must have spotted the potential that was there, but you never doubted that, did you, in terms of what you were doing?
That definitely was the perception. I remember, like, seeing a couple of things saying that, but I don't care about that. My self-belief is so strong and always has been. I don't know where I get it from, but it's been like that since a kid, so... Yeah. Other people's opinions never mattered. But what I will say is, they were probably right in what they were saying. If you look at my goal output at that time, I don't think it was good enough for the amount of money. But today's football, I think you're sort of paying for potential.
When you say about that belief and you've always had it, where does that come from? I mean, to be fair, the city that you live in, you have to have belief, don't you? I think, you know, I always think when I go to Liverpool, the people have a real spirit and a fight in them. Is it come from the city or the people you sort of grew up with?
1,000,000% it comes from... Where I come from, because you have to be really strong-willed and a strong character to survive there.
Yeah.
I think, and even stronger to sort of expand out and really progress in the world outside of Liverpool. So that definitely helps. And like I said, I don't know where it comes from, but no matter what's happened in my life, I've never once doubted myself.
Yeah, when I think of sort of say a winger, I always think of them as being, or a forward player actually, a young forward. I always think of them as being maybe a little bit erratic in the game, a little bit erratic in the mind, a bit more immature than defenders usually.
Yeah.
When I'm speaking to you now, I have the feeling that almost like you're sort of quite methodical in your thinking.
Yeah.
Just the thing about sort of reading the books, the sort of picking up the sort of the leadership messages, would that be fair to say that you're massively into that?
Very fair. That's what, honestly, my whole life is sort of like that. I'm into, like I said before, psychology, books, just constantly getting better. And I think people don't get that, because you think Liverpool, your typical Scouser.
I'm used to working next to a different sort of type of person from Liverpool. If you know, he's not quite into psychology.
I didn't want to say it.
Boxing.
No, I'm joking. No, but I think the best word is probably a bit misunderstood. But yeah, I'm definitely into all that stuff.
It mesmerises me, because actually, to be fair, I interviewed Trent a few weeks ago. I think misunderstood's a really good word in terms of you have a perception of someone, don't you, of what they are, how they'll be.
Yeah.
And I'm here now with you for the first 15, 20 minutes that I've ever met you in my life, and the articulate nature of how you sort of communicate, the determination. I can't doubt it. You played a professional football at the highest level, and what you're doing is unbelievable. But I would have thought it would be more instinctive than thought out. You know what I mean?
Like I said to you before, I don't actually mind people having that perception.
Yeah.
Because I'm comfortable in myself to know that I just need the opportunity to meet you to be able to change it. I know once people meet me and they'd be in my company that I can change it. And I think having a stereotype is not too... We're all human, we all do it. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
And you see yourself as being a potential captain? And if you see... it's too early for that, but do you see yourself as being someone who can inspire people or lead?
I was speaking to some close ones about this recently, because I feel like my end calling after football may have something to do with that, whether that be through football, through management, or down the psychology route. I think that may be...
Where you want to go?
My end goal. I'm not too sure yet, but like I said, I'm so invested in that sort of stuff that it surely has to come to fruition at some point. Yeah. As a footballer, I lead by example rather than a big speaker, or I'm a bit...
You're quite quiet in the
dressing room. Yeah, I'm very quiet in the dressing room.
In terms of sort of how you prepare for a match,
how
do you prepare for a match then, in terms of bringing those thoughts together to make sure that you're in that tunnel absolutely ready to go?
So my preparation for a match will start 2 days before. I have like fully set, I mean, 3 days will be set out to the minute.
I thought that was only me.
No, that is me as well, honestly.
Thursday night I would switch on.
No, I'm fully switched on. I try not to think too much about the game, but it's more so I do a lot of meditation, visualization, a lot of goals.
Visualizing what's going to happen in the game?
Yeah, so that if a chance comes, I feel like I've already lived it. And all I have to do then is just be present and actually trust me ability rather than overthink it.
And in terms of what 2 days before you start visualising what the game is that your opponent as well, or is that just your particular game and what you're going to do?
No, it'll be my opponent.
Thinking about what they're going to
do. Because I usually know what he's going to do, what his habits will be. If I'm playing against a fullback who's running, it's more so getting myself comfortable with, actually, if he doesn't want to around me, I'm going to put myself in that position of being tired and getting back now, so that in the game, it's a lot easier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, but I'm trying to work out where this sort of deep thought and this... It's unbelievable, really. I'm amazed. In a good way. I mean, everyone thinks that football players turn up, it's quite instinctive, the coach, they have to be instructed.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever think that there's that level of deep thought and preparation going into this level.
Yeah, some footballers can do that. I just can't. I prefer to be... My confidence comes from my preparation. I don't know where it comes from, because I wouldn't say anyone around me is anything like that. They're not really into that stuff, but...
It's not come from sort of a member of your family or come from a friend or coach?
I couldn't say anyone around me is like that. I just love learning stuff. And throughout me growing up years, I've took a sort of a liking to learning about psychology.
The meditation and visualisation, what is that for you?
It's not how you perceive it to be, where you're sat on your legs crossed like this.
I've just got this vision of you sat there, sort of it's like breathing and...
No.
I was doing quick fire questions 5 minutes ago. I'm fucking on the longest fire quick fire in the world. I'm actually mesmerised in a way that I've never heard a football player talk actually with this level of sort of depth and thought and preparation. I don't think at any point in their career, let alone at sort of someone who's at your stage in your career.
Yeah, there may be people who do the same thing. There probably is loads who maybe just haven't spoke about it. But like I said, some footballers like to think less and just turn up and play and trust their instincts. But I just love the mindset of getting myself in that place before I'm already there. Yeah. And I actually heard Salah talk about it. And that's where I took even more interest, because I see him as an absolute machine, a winner.
Yeah.
And people like that, you're not going to go far wrong sort of following what they do.
And I got to 25, 26 before I felt... Unbreakable is the wrong word, but where I felt mentally strong enough to cope with everything.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you're already at that point now whereby I've got coping mechanisms to deal with anything that comes my way?
So that's exactly what I'm trying to explain. It's more of a coping mechanism for how to handle sort of pressure of playing. And that's what the meditation, the visualisation just allows me to react from a higher perspective than my own emotions. Because being emotional...
Yeah.
It's not the best. It's not good in sports. It's not.
Talk to me then. The meditation and visualization.
Yeah.
I know what it is, obviously, but what is that for you? So, are you sat in a dark room? Are you sort of? Is there music? And what is that setting like?
It's not how you perceive it to be, where you're sat on your legs crossed
I'm thinking,
like this.
I just got this vision of you sat there, sort of
it's
like breathing.
So,
and,
no. It's just sitting in a room on your own, like no noise if possible, on a chair. Closing your eyes, getting in touch with your body through breathing, and then just letting the game run. So I start arriving at the stadium, going into the warm-up, through the game, and then ultimately trying to see how I want to feel after the game, if that makes sense. So I try and get that feeling, and then what I'm going to have to do in the game to achieve it.
How do you sort of cope with during a game if what you've visualised sort of hasn't happened or hasn't occurred? How do you deal with that? Because sometimes things happen in a game, don't they? You might get a red card, you might get a yellow card, you might miss a chance. How would that sort of sit with you during a match? Mistake management in a match, if you like.
Yeah. Well, that's the key to football, is how you react. It's key to life, how you react from mistakes.
Yeah.
So for me, if I'm making mistakes, it's just about, again, forgetting my emotions, because your emotions try and lead you down one way.
Yeah.
And it's normally the wrong way. So it's trying to put them to one side.
Yeah.
And just snapping back to, actually, what do I need to do? Where's my man? And I do that for me breathing and stuff.
Right, in the game?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So if you ever see me sort of deep breathing, now you know.
I'm thinking he looks knackered there.
No, no, no. Or maybe I am actually. Depends what fullback I'm playing against.
And in terms, I can imagine then that, you know, again, as a young football player, I would sort of watch some of my clips back after a game to sort of try and, you know, coach myself, what could I do better? Are you quite methodical in terms of your post-match assessment of what you've done? How's that look?
I watched the game.
You're not.
Not running like that.
Have you visualised scoring the winner in the Euros, by the way?
I have. I have plenty of times. So I have to watch the game straight after the game.
Well, you go and watch the game?
Yeah. Oh, God. We get on our phones now, so it's not too difficult.
So sent straight to your phone?
Yeah, yeah. But it's just
Is that
more
not
so
quite sort of like intense? You want to recover and rest? Or do you...
I can't sleep, though. It's like I just remember all the bad things and the good things, but mostly the bad things, and it's just watching it and then seeing sort of why I've done it. Does that make sense?
You're intense, aren't you?
Very
massively
intense.
Yeah,
me missus would tell you that, I think.
So how are you at home then with your fiance? How would you be like to live with? I mean, I thought I was bad. I thought I was intense.
Yeah, not to blow my own horn, but I think, again, keeping in line with the being present stuff, I think I'm very relaxed, because as soon as I walk through the door, I just think to myself, football's gone and now I have to put them first. Now within that, I'll be focused on me hydration and like,
yeah.
She'll know there's certain parts of the evening where I have to just switch off or I'll
be... Do you eat at a certain time?
Yeah, yeah. So routine. So routine, it's unbelievable. Would you like that?
Yeah.
I have to be like that.
I mean, to be fair, me and my brother were sort of mocked for many years for taking our food on the train or on the coach, so we had to eat at a certain time, the day before a game, 2 days before a game, we had to eat the same foods. If I couldn't stand in the tunnel and think that I prepared for the game properly.
Yeah.
It was almost like a routine, I suppose, almost like my preparation. I know players have that.
Yeah.
But I switched on Thursday night, I would start thinking about the game, start thinking about the opponent, but never to the levels that you're talking about.
Mm. Well, I think, like I said before, your preparation there is giving you confidence in the game.
Yeah.
Because when it gets hard, you will end up relying on that.
Yeah.
So I'm the same, I'm so routined. We just went on holiday, got a couple of days off, went to Spain. And even then, I have to eat at the same times, just because if the routine gets messed up, it kills me.
Yeah. Do you assess your fitness stats after every game as well? Are you measuring that type of your game as well? What would you run per game, sort of total distance?
Total distance wouldn't be anything crazy. It'd be around 11K.
11K.
But my high-speed running will be sort of 16, 1700, 1800. Which is like very high. You know, I think I got the fourth highest.
I think 900 was my sort of regular.
Well, I'm a good sprinter though, that's what I'm good at. So it'd be quite poor if I wasn't reaching them numbers.
So you sprint 1800 metres every game on average?
I think on average I'd probably say 1600.
Wow.
But I think this year against Kyle Walker.
Yeah. The 1800.
Yeah, 1800. We went man for man. So I was like sort of.
So you were man marking, or is he man marking you?
It was meant to be him marking me, and it ended up the other way. Pep obviously made the adjustment to put him high, pull me right back.
Right.
And honestly, me and him were just racing up and down the line the whole game. The footy match was going on, and me and him were just running.
I'll go back onto the quick fire questions, but I'm blown away really by the level of thought. I know you're a professional football player, so I know that to get to where you've got to. But I am blown away by the sort of the depth of it. It's unbelievable. It's be unique, I would reckon.
I've never said that before on any media outlet or
what
things.
About the meditation and visualization?
Yeah, so I think it's good for people to hear as well.
Yeah, I mean,
again, no one knows that side to me. I think the club are very understanding with how I am.
So let's say I was standing there, you were at me. Yeah. If you ran just there.
Yeah, either way, I feel like I'm quick enough to beat you, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Conversations just completely.
It's more natural, isn't it?
Do you know what we do there? Yeah. Oh, do you know something? We have like a thing, but I literally just have to go where I'm.
Yeah, I think it's best. I love that, you know, the stick to football.
Always.
I actually like the start of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just like you're talking as you would.
But it's like this now. I always say to them, film this.
Yeah.
It's the best conversation sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But stick to football, do you know, it partly comes from, because I can't host, I can't present, I just can't. So basically, I just said, look, just get the cameras rolling, and then I'll just go, right.
Yeah, the right. Right. You always do that. It's good.
We should go back out. Does this actually, have they trusted us to come in here and not nick anything out of that sort of sandwich and chocolate and stuff? Oh, sorry, he's there. Sorry, mate. I'm thinking that's very trustworthy, that, just letting us have the door. Do you know what this reminds me of? Where does this remind me of where we've done the overlap before?
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, the exact same type cafe.
The one with Tyson Fury?
Yeah. You should watch it.
I haven't watched that one.
It's about 2 years old. It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. It's a good one. He talks a lot about mental health. Yeah, he was good. He rocked up. No one with him. He was in a, what was he, what car was he in? Ferrari? It was a Ferrari. So you imagine Ferrari's on the floor like this. He fucking gets out of it like this, climbs out of it, walks over. I want a coffee. So we had a coffee and that was it. He just went off on one. And it was unbelievable, really.
I think with that sport, you almost have to be delusional in the fact that like this fella cannot knock me out, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you end up, same with McGregor, you end up.
Did you box when you were younger?
Love boxing now still.
Love boxing now?
Yeah, if I do any training, I don't do weight training at all, ever.
You don't do weight training?
Never.
Why is that?
I just think...
Can we shoot this? Why don't you weight... Because I always thought when I was coaching with England, I mean, we weight train, but then when I was with England, the lads seem to have programmes that trained. Why?
The lads at the club do it. I just... One, my game's not really reliant on it. And I just think... We do enough running, adding actual weight onto your muscles and your body, it's just going to put you under more stress, resulting in more chance of injury.
Do you think it would take away some of your agility, like the way in which you're sort of nimble? Do you think it would take away some of that, getting a bit bulkier?
Yeah, it'd probably make me stronger. I'd probably actually get quicker, more explosive.
Yeah.
But with sort of, you know, I might get more injury, so it's not worth that end result for me.
Again, that's like a... What that says to me is, one, that you're sort of taking charge of your own sort of programme. Because most players, including myself, you know, you train, you'd be told what to do. You'd say, right, you're in the gym for your weights.
Yeah.
And we all trod off. We all get our programme.
Yeah.
And we have to do what we're told to do. So what happens at the end of the session when the players trod off, you know, go into the gym and sort of, what do you say? No, it's not me. I'm not doing
it. Exactly that. I go for lunch, eat my food. I think the club are very understanding with how I am.
Yeah,
because physio treatment and gym, I don't go in the gym or I don't go in the treatment. I just do what I need to do. I do a lot of stretching, a lot of yoga, a lot of that side of sort of the gym.
Yeah,
but actual weight and treatments, not for me.
When you say treatments, you mean like sort of back stretching or manipulation or sort of like that type of stuff with treatments?
Yeah, so some lads in it every morning, like getting flushes or getting a back stretch.
Oh, you massage? You don't have massages?
None. The only thing I do is stretch. I stretch before training, after training, and that's it.
What do you do for recovery then after a game?
I do a lot of recovery. I'd say that's more, my gym stuff is more recovery based.
Right.
So I do a lot of watt bike, the Normatec, the squeezy legs, have you seen them?
Yeah.
Love an ice bath.
Yeah.
And pull and stretch, so it's more sort of flexibility and just get my legs in a good place rather than trying to add to it.
So what would Eddie say? Is that Eddie that would say, yeah, he's okay, he doesn't need to do? Because what would the senior players, what would the rest of the players think? Because I'd be like, if it was me, I'm going in the gym, and I'm thinking, no, we're all going in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd naturally think that.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, Scholes didn't go in the gym, I don't think that much.
Didn't either, did he? He's just singing balls.
I'm just remembering, actually, he's outside pinging balls, actually, on the pitch. But I'm thinking, yeah, maybe he didn't go in the gym that much.
That's another thing. A lot of the time when the session finishes and some lads will go in the gym, I stay out all the time, just finishing or doing extra bits, usually because I just feel like training's ended too quickly and I'm not ready to go in. So that's another part of it. But like I said before, the gaffer and the gym staff, they're firing me doing
it. But you sat down and gone through with them and said, this is why I don't want to do it.
Yeah, they know I don't like it. They know I just like to do what makes me feel good. And, you know, this season I've been injury-free, touch wood. So, you know, it's worked.
I mean, I think to be fair, United, there was a massive culture of staying out after and working on the thing individually that you needed to work on. So for me, it could be my head in, it could be 1v1 defending. What are you sort of at the moment, sort of, when you're out on the training pitch after training, you're doing that individual one-on-one. What are you doing? What part of your game are you improving? What are you thinking at the moment is the one thing?
I always do around the box finishing and crosses.
Right.
But as the season's gone on, so now I'm cutting in and I've scored a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Now I feel like defenders are reading it.
Right.
So I'm finding ways now, maybe a little feint or a skill move.
To go back on the outside again.
Yeah, or even a chop to go again.
Yeah.
And I've done it in the past couple of matches and the gaffer's been really pleased with me, to be fair, because he's like, actually, you've been working on that.
Yeah.
And I'm quite innovative and thoughtful, yeah. So I bring it to him a lot of the time. But of course,
yeah.
He brings a lot to me as well. But on the pitch, I know what could work. So I'm just trying them things, trying to get better.
So would I be right in saying that your favourite position, because obviously you play all across the front line,
yeah.
You know, you even play number 10, but would you say that off the left is the place where you think that's where I'm most comfortable?
Most comfortable, yeah. But I think it probably depends who you ask. A lot of people prefer me in all different places because they've seen me play striker,
yeah.
Left, right, 10, left, 8 I've actually played at some
yeah.
point. I played number 9 in the Euros for England.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
But I'd say left probably makes off you feel left. The most comfortable.
So you're running at me. Now, when I played right back, which is quite a long time ago now, the majority of players, 99% of players I played against were left-footed.
Yeah.
And when I played against a right-footed player, I always used to feel more comfortable.
Really?
I always used to feel more comfortable. Like Robert Pires was a right-footed
yeah, yeah.
left-winger.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant player, but I used to think, he's always going to go back inside. So I'd almost wait for him.
Yeah.
And say, I know he's never going to go there. I can't visualise him crossing it with his left foot. Even if you think
yeah,
of
yeah.
Robert Pires now.
Yeah.
Are you in that moment, or are you in this moment now thinking about how you sort of that... go that way, because they'll show you that
yeah,
way,
yeah.
and then you can get that left foot across, or even it. Is that what you're working on a lot at the moment?
Yeah, and I play sort of on what he gives me. So if he's going to block the line because he thinks I'm quick, then I'll go inside.
Yeah.
And vice versa, if he blocks inside, then I'll just take him the line. But also it's the little things where it's like, go inside 1-2, and then I'm taking him the line.
Yeah.
So it's just constantly different ways of trying to beat him. It's not just 1v1 direct all the time. Trying to link with other people.
What was most difficult for me when a player was running at me was, let's say I was standing there, you were running at me,
yeah.
is if you ran directly just there.
Yeah.
I always say, run directly there.
Yeah.
Because at some point, I'm thinking...
You have to stick that leg.
Yeah. And it's like that one, or I'm going... And it's like sometimes I think wingers make it easy for a fullback because they'll go there too early. Or they'll go there too early. So if you chop it inside too early, I can just go like that.
Yeah.
But if you take it right up close to my leg here, I'm sure, and you do that quite a bit. You aim for that leg, don't you? You really direct and go for people, don't you?
Yeah, so that's another thing. My angle of approach on a 1v1, a lot of it is the same, where I think if I come at you on your left leg...
Left leg, yeah.
You're either going to have to commit to one side at some point.
Yeah.
And then it's how fast can I react to that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And... either way, I feel like I'm quick enough to beat you, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Thanks for that. I've just shown you inside. I've just shown you inside to a load of other bodies. I've stayed with the left back that's overlapping.
That's what happens a lot, to be honest.
No, but it fascinates me. In terms of sort of, you're on 10 goals, Premier League.
Yes.
8 assists.
Yeah.
Where do you want to get to? I mean, it's a silly question, really, but where do you see... Because obviously, you look at numbers now, and everyone seems to measure numbers, and you're hitting really good numbers. Where would you like those numbers to be in the future?
It's difficult, really, because I've, as much as I do love goal setting, I've never really put a set number on goals, because, let's say, I put 10 at the start of the year.
Yeah.
If I get to 10 now, I want it to 15. So it just never stops, and I don't think you can put a goal on that. I just want to keep doing the things leading up to the goal.
Yeah.
Which results in a goal, and that's the important thing. But I think to be a top winger, numbers do matter.
Yeah.
It's all that matters nowadays. So you're talking like 15 goals, 10 assists, if you want to be a top player, I think, on a consistent basis, as a minimum.
Yeah.
Eddie's so relentless, so putting that much pressure on you to succeed, I belong here, this is me level.
I don't think I've ever met a young player that's as openly ambitious as you are. Have you always been like that? Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying this episode. This is just a quick thank you to Skybet, our partners, for making this show happen. It's something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. Please subscribe, there's loads more episodes coming up, and I hope you're enjoying it. Talk to me about England. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. I've always said I just needed that in to get in, because getting into squad's so hard because of the players they've got in there. I've always just wanted that opportunity to show what I could do, because I'm comfortable in myself to know in that environment.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll do well. And I felt like that was the case.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I felt so comfortable there, and when I got there I was actually, I belong here, this is my level.
It's interesting that, because I used to think that the first training session, if there's a new player comes in, everyone's watching, it's obviously some guys know you,
definitely.
They're all watching you thinking, can, what's he like, you know what I mean? Did you feel in that first training session straight away, you thought, right, okay, I feel comfortable?
Yeah, but I didn't really care, like, I was so on it. I was so just determined to do well that session, because, like you said, it's football, I'm a human. Everyone would be looking at the new lads coming in.
It's true, though. You have, I mean, people think, obviously, that you've got to impress yourself, but you have got to impress your teammates, haven't you, as well?
Yeah.
You're going in there, there's 20-odd other players. Mm. There is that pressure on you to impress them and make them feel like, oh, wow, you know what I mean?
You have to earn respect. That's the biggest thing in football, or it's an opinion-based sport. No one's going to respect you if you don't earn the respect. But it's a pride thing if you can prove to yourself and feel comfortable in yourself, everyone's opinion will sort of align with yours.
And you mentioned, obviously, like the competition. You're in a part of the pitch where, obviously, Phil Foden can play, Marcus Rashford can play, Jack Grealish can play.
Mm.
I'll probably just name three, there's probably four or five. Yeah. Do you have an edge in the sense that you can play all across the front line? Some of them can well, but you can play, sort of like say, eight, you can play nine, you can play... obviously on the left, and you can play on the right. Do you think that's something that will be a factor that could go your way? Obviously, Gareth's got to pick a squad in the next month or two.
I think so. I think versatility in a tournament is massive. Like you said, a lot of them lads can do that as well, but I feel I've done it a lot this year, especially in big games, and I think that matters. I've done it in big games where I've played out of position and still performed.
Yeah. What's out of position?
So
centre-forward?
Centre-forward. On the right, even probably out of position, because the left... it's probably my main position.
Yeah,
I've played number 10 sometimes. And all proven in big games that I can, no matter where I play, I can still perform.
Yeah.
Having that trust from the manager and the players around me, I think that's a massive thing.
What's the hardest part for you of playing centre forward?
Definitely back to goal.
Back to goal, having it played into from distance.
Yeah. Because obviously my build is not, I'm not built for that. But playing there with England, and then sometimes this year, I've found ways to manipulate that, so I'm coming off more on an angle rather than straight down the line.
Yeah.
And I found that because I'm quick, defenders don't really want to, if I come off on an angle, they don't really want to engage.
Yeah.
Because 1-1-2 and I'm in. Yeah. It only took me a couple of games and I started thinking, actually, let me try this, let me try that. And my understanding of the game got even better.
What did you find when you were with England? What was the sort of, because obviously I played with England for many years, and the spirit was talked about a lot as being a potential issue, but the spirit in the last 5-6 years, Gareth's create an environment of a great culture. Did you find that when you went in there?
That was the most surprising thing, because, like I said before, I knew I would do well on the pitch. Off the pitch, I was nervous, of course, like you would be.
Yeah.
Going to meet a load of new people.
Even shaking hands at
the first meet-up, it's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
What you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wasn't.
Right.
The culture they've managed to create, the staff, is so impressive. And me, Cobby and Jared all said the same thing. They were like, actually, like, the lads are lovely, the staff are lovely.
Yeah.
The staff go out the way constantly to make sure
you're okay.
You feel like you've been there for ages.
Yeah.
And that definitely helped me in the camp.
Did you feel that when you came to Newcastle and started working with Eddie?
Yeah, the lads were class. Helped me settle in really quickly, but Eddie's so relentless. So the first part is actually harder because he's putting that much pressure on you to succeed and get you to where he needs you to be.
The demands are big.
Yeah, demands are massive.
Work ethic. And,
yeah. Like every session, if you're daydreaming for 1 second, he somehow manages to see it. And he's like screaming your name. You're like, oh. So it's definitely two different approaches, but both work. And ultimately, like I said, Eddie's were hard at the start, but they got me to where I am now.
You made a big decision, and I say to leave the city, the club where you have grown up, and that city as well, which is passionate about, you're passionate about Liverpool. You know, it's a city that's great strength, is its spirit, its passion, its determination, and its togetherness. So to actually leave there for a local lad, I would say it's probably tougher than any other city in the UK. How was that for you at the time, in terms of just obviously you received a relentless amount of sort of attention, scrutiny, whatever you want to call it. How was it? Because obviously I know you're mentally strong, we've talked about that outside, but was the points where you think this is getting difficult?
Yeah, the whole process was difficult, but I think you said I'm mentally strong, but I think that's played a massive part in me being who I am now. Yeah, so I'm very thankful, but it was so hard at the time. Like you said, Liverpool's biggest unity is everyone being together. Sort of scousers looking after scousers, and for someone to leave that environment, it's not, no one's going to like it, do you know what I mean? And rightly so, but ultimately I'm too ambitious to turn down the opportunity that was presented to me. Newcastle only going one way, and looking from the outside they were absolutely flying. I think they were fourth when I was you know, just signing, so it's a no brainer. My ambition is to be at the very top of football, whatever that looks like. And I couldn't do that where I was.
And how it ended didn't have to be like that, did it, really?
No.
The statement was a bit, I don't even know what you'd call the statement that they put out, to be honest with you. It was small. But, you know, it was almost as if they were playing to the crowd. You know, Anthony wants to leave, we've let him go. But almost a bit like that, discarding you a little bit. And obviously you at the time were getting a lot of criticism. Mm. Why didn't have to be like that, did it, surely?
No, it definitely didn't.
But it sounds like they needed the money as well, looking at it as
well. That's the thing, a lot of what you see on the media is club driven, and I didn't really care too much to change the perspective because I'm very comfortable in myself and how it ended, and ultimately I got what I wanted. I joined Newcastle. I did want to leave, but also the club did have to sell me. Yeah, the way it played out was like I was desperate to leave, and I was it was never really the case. I just wanted to fulfil my ambitions, and ultimately never bothered too much about wanting to change people's minds if they believe what they read. That's fine by me.
It's interesting because I listen to you talk now, and I think that there's a perception that young people were stronger, were more determined, they worked harder 25 years ago or 40 years ago. And I often sort of disagree with that, because when I speak to when I see footballers, when I speak to you today, one, we wouldn't have been able to speak like this in an interview at your age. Just wouldn't. Fact. You know, I'm in the media now, but at the age of sort of your age, I would never have been able to do that. And also, your ambition and what you've done takes great courage. I don't think players back then would have found it as easy to do that.
Yeah.
Do you feel that sort of inner strength and spirit that nothing's going to stop me on this journey? I'm going where I'm going, and I'm going to get to where I'm going to get to.
Yeah, similar to what I was telling you before. I don't know where it comes from, but I've had that since a kid, since I was 4 or 5 years old when I was rolling with the ball. Nothing's ever been able to knock me off my path. I've got one goal and one purpose, and nothing will ever get in the way of that. I'd agree that young players today, they're exposed to more, so of course we're going to be mentally stronger at a younger age. And like you said before, we're probably better in interviews because we have to do them earlier.
Yeah.
So that's no sort of shame on the players of past generations, but I think we're just exposed to more through social media and stuff, so... Yeah, take the positives from that though.
Right, question six.
Quick fire.
Back to the quick fire. Favourite sport aside from football?
NFL, no question.
NFL?
Yeah, absolutely love it.
We had JJ Watt on.
I know, I watched it.
You watch it?
I'm halfway through, but I watched the start. I was buzzing when you had him on.
Yeah.
Just a little change up.
Yeah, Roy's a big fan of him.
Of NFL. He likes the NFL, doesn't he?
So where did that come from then?
Just sort of self-taught me way through knowing how the game works.
Right.
It probably started with players. So looking at players and they have big profiles and followed it through that. And then now I can probably tell you anything you want about it.
Wow, so you're into it properly?
Yeah, massively, yeah.
Jeez. Football hero growing up?
Gerrard.
Steven Gerrard?
Yeah. Coming from Liverpool, he's like a god in Liverpool.
Good player. Excellent. Unbelievable player. Which defender do you dread coming up against?
None.
None?
No.
Any that you think it's going to be a hard day?
Yeah, Kyle Walker. Every time, just because I know it's just constantly going to be a hard game. I think I wouldn't say dread because I look forward to the competition and I actually look forward to them games the most. That's usually when I perform my best, but there's other part of me that thinks a lot of running involved here.
I think that's, obviously I watch Kyle a lot, he's played in my position. I think, I wish I'd just had an ounce of his pace.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't really knock it past him and beat him for pace because he's got a 3-yard start on you anyway. How do you look at an opponent that's strong, he's rapid, he's experienced? How would you look at that and think, how do I win this duel against him?
Mm. Well, first of all, I'd look at the mental side of it and try and beat him psychologically.
What would that be?
As in, if he's running past me forward ways and I've got to run back, I will match him. So that he knows as well as me he's in a tough game, regardless of if I play well or not, he's going to have a hard game. So that side of it plays into it. But also, it's just figuring out ways to beat different players. Obviously, you can't look past them, so 1-2s.
Off balance, maybe. Take him off balance.
He plays very high
because
of the way they play, it's catching him in that transition.
Yeah.
Against City, you don't get many moments, so it's just about picking them at the right times.
If you were a footballer, what would you be?
Oh, honestly, football's always been...
Yeah.
It's just always been like a tunnel vision. I think it'd be easy for me to say, it definitely wouldn't have been the case, but now I'd probably go into the psychology of sports, or maybe even people, but definitely along them lines. But as a kid, it definitely wouldn't have been that.
Best friend in football?
I'd say I've got three. Curtis Jones, Tommy Doyle, Elliot Anderson. Mixed bag there, some club international.
So where's Curtis Jones international?
Yeah, Tommy as well.
Tommy international.
Elliot club.
Elliot Anderson. I watched him quite a bit when he was at Bristol Rovers, He was some player, by the way, there.
Yeah, he is. He's top player.
He's done well in Newcastle.
As a young player, he's just finding his feet within the games. He's been top in training for a while.
Yeah.
But he's just finding his feet.
So three best mates. I wish I could name three. Winner in a cup final for Newcastle or score with England at a major tournament? That's a hard one, isn't it? Because you either have to upset your country or your fans. I always think they're a bit difficult then.
Based on the question, I'm going to go with a Newcastle goal.
For the winner?
I think when we win a trophy here, it's going to be absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that team will forever be legends within the club. But if it was to score a winner in the Euros... The answer changes.
But just, I like the way you say that, when we win a trophy with Newcastle, you absolutely sure you're going to?
Mm. Yeah. 1,000,000%. Honestly, I felt like we would this year.
Yeah.
But our cup draws were absolutely
tough. I mean, yeah.
I actually thought it was a bit of banter at the end of it. When we got City in the last one, I was like, oh my God.
Right, best goal you've ever scored?
I'd probably say the City one.
City?
Yeah. Just the magnitude of it, they were winning.
Yeah.
It was to sort of retake the lead at St James's.
Yeah.
I might have missed one out there, but that was my favourite one.
Biggest phobia?
I'd probably say spiders. I've got a phobia, but I don't really like them.
No.
Go spiders.
No, I don't think I am a fan of spiders. Karaoke, do you sing? Karaoke song?
Possibly the worst singer to ever live. If I was going to go, I would go Backstreet Boys. I want it that way. Just because I do that, I'm in initiation songs. So...
Where do you initiation songs at Newcastle? Do you have them with England as well?
No, he didn't do them at England, thank God. But I've done them at Newcastle.
Who's leading that at Newcastle, saying you've got to get up and do initiation?
Tinners, so he's a staff member.
Right.
And he absolutely loves anything along them lines where it's a bit of a banter, he loves it.
Favourite food cheat meal?
Chinese.
Oh, I'm Chinese as well.
Yeah, Chinese. You cannot go wrong.
I might have to have one tonight, When I get back to Manchester.
Chinese, God.
Right, most famous name in your phone book?
Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big dog, isn't
he? Yeah, big, yeah. Big name, famous name. Best and worst subject at school?
Best. Struggling there. B PE.
Why does every footballer say PE? We all We're say all PE. The same, I got honestly, A in PE. We all get
all
A
the same. Where's science?
Science. Oh, no good.
No, no. Too much.
Three dream guests to have at dinner.
I love this question, you know, and I've always got answers, and now I'm on the spot. I go Maradona. I would go Donald Trump.
Is that just for the weirdness?
Just for pure, I'd just love to meet him and see how he is.
Yeah, like bizarre.
Like, he's so bizarre as a person. Yeah. I just want to sit down with him and, yeah.
Ricky Gervais. I'd like to see Maradona and Ricky Gervais with Donald Trump as good. Well. Imagine that.
And then me.
You put a cocktail of, like, I actually like...
The craziest three people ever.
Yeah.
Gervais is a big one. I don't know why I haven't put him first. I absolutely love him.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see that. Funny. Best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Best bit of advice was from Leighton Baines. He said it to me very young. I was about 16, 17 at Everton. And he said, never get too high, never get too low. And I always remembered it. I don't even think he said it in like a...
advice way.
Yeah, I think he just said it and I took it with me.
It's good advice, that.
Yeah.
Good advice. Your favourite boxer?
Right now? Canelo. Love boxing.
Did you box when you were growing up? Because I played Carrigan now. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not stereotyping by any stretch of imagination. But first thing we have to do is be able to defend ourselves. You know what I mean? So Rooney's boxer. Carrigan's a boxer. He's still going into the gym now. Yeah. On the overlap interview I did with him, he texted me into the gym.
Yeah.
So you must have gone to a gym, or you must have...
Yeah. It's just a natural thing. As a kid growing up in Liverpool, you just go to the gym with your mates and box. I'm very good at boxing still to this day. And I do a lot of boxing.
Because we used to do boxing training after to go in the gym.
Yeah.
I used to like it for a fullback.
Yeah.
We're quite embarrassing this. Do you know the movements of, like, you know, jockey, you know,
yeah,
a
your
bit
feet,
embarrassing,
your
but
feet.
You know, just there, your feet.
Yeah.
Not so much for a winger, does that need as much? But for a fullback, it's absolutely essential, that idea of in and out.
For me, it's more the conditioning of it. And I'm obviously very interested in boxing, so just on like recovery days, it's not that hard for me.
Boxing's not hard for you?
No, not on my legs anyway.
Okay.
It's good for the upper body, but I love to box.
Tell me something about yourself that no one knows.
I think I've just told you loads out there. I'd say that's the biggest thing. It's probably the meditation stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think the stereotype of a young Scouse lad, you would never have imagined that in a million years.
No. Nothing shocked me. I suppose in some ways it's a case that I wouldn't have expected you to come with that, you know. I wouldn't expect you to prepare for a football match in such a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I used to think of wingers, particularly young wingers, being more instinctive and not as well thought out. You know, that's just the nature of sort of like the winger and the sort of mentality of them.
Yeah. And the book, when I was on England, I was reading a book on the coach, and Mathers was like, Scousers don't read books, do they? So maybe the books as well.
We need to get Mathers on this podcast. It sounds like you fit right in with me. Scousers don't need books.
He's like a genius for that one.
Right, last question. Last minute penalty to save your life. Who's taking it?
Me.
You're on it?
Yeah. I put my life in no one else's hands. No way. Not
Harry Kane?
No, not me.
You're on?
Yeah. I'm a very good penalty taker as well. Don't get to take many because we've got Alex at the minute who can't miss.
Yeah.
But I'm good at pens.
So... we've talked a lot today about visualisation.
Yeah.
And I'm not throwing you forward 5 years because I think that's probably too far into the future. But where are you in your head in 3 years? What are the big ambitions in your career?
Well, I want to win trophies first and foremost. I think that's everyone's dream. I think that goes without saying. But individually, I want to be at the very top. Whatever that looks like, I probably couldn't tell you right now. But I think that comes with winning trophies, constantly scoring, constantly assisting. And running the way I do. Running's a massive part. Because usually if I run a lot, I play well. But I want to be right to the very top.
I don't think I've met a young player. Every young player's ambitious, but I don't think I've ever met a young player that's as openly ambitious as you are.
Yeah.
And have you always been like that?
I think so. I'd like to think so.
It's like
always,
a determination.
Like I said to you before, my confidence has never wavered since I was a kid. And again, it probably comes from where I come from, but I don't mind telling people where I want to get to. I actually like doing it because I feel like it puts more pressure on me to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Public pressure.
I'm just thinking, I know, and I've said this before, so it's not something I make. Day of the Euro 2004, quarter final versus Portugal.
Mm.
Rooney's first tournament is 18, and I'm a little bit sort of like thinking it's a big game, you know. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't my first tournament, I'd played in a few. But there's a tension then. I had a bit of a tension sometimes on the day of a game. Not nervous or anxious or anything, but just a bit like you felt like, I said, you know, are you okay, Waz? He went, I can't wait. And I have to say, I've not heard a confidence and self-belief, because that blew me away that day in terms of thinking, hang on a minute, this is massive for an 18-year-old to cope with this. It's actually the first time I've spoken to a young player since that day where I felt the same level of confidence.
That's good. Can't go wrong if I'm anyway like Rooney. But yeah, I've always been like that. The biggest games is when I'm at my best.
Yeah.
Because I don't look at it as in a negative at all. It's just a chance for me to be who I want to be, who I think of myself as. So it's just the opportunity for me to go and be who I want to be. Just look forward to it.
Well, I absolutely love that conversation. It wasn't what I was expecting at all. I wasn't expecting there to be that level of depth and thought and seriousness. And you have to be serious to be a professional football player. Never underestimate the work that has to go in for you to be where you are today, playing at the level you're playing at. But sometimes I think lads get there and they don't know how they've got there.
Yeah.
They've just played football a lot and they've listened to coaches and they've got good at it. But I feel like you've sort of thought every step of the way where you're going and how you're getting there and what you're doing with it, which is unbelievable.
No,
well
you.
Done to you. Well
much.
Done.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.